If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I remember like enlisting some help from like the older girls in my boarding house the first time. There was like a school disco with a boys' school.
Yeah.
And they gave me a makeover. And it was like a Clueless makeover.
Because it sounds like something from Clueless.
It literally was like something from Clueless.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just put makeup on me and like straightened my hair. Because hair straighteners were like only just a thing.
So
like,
a GHD.
Yeah. It was just suddenly like exploded. Yeah. And like, how have we not had these before?
Hello and welcome back. This week's guest is Millie McIntosh. Millie started her career working with makeup at MAC and then became one of the original cast members of Made in Chelsea, which propelled her to dizzying heights of fame. Since leaving the show, she's become a health and beauty influencer and has just launched her second makeup range with Boots. In this episode, we talk about that journey and we also talk about the things that have really impacted her confidence throughout it. So the acne she had from when she was very young, and also fitness, which she came to later in life, but has found enormously positive and helpful. So here's Millie McIntosh. So I always go back to childhood with guests on Beautiful Lives and want to talk to you about your youth in Wiltshire. I'm imagining you sort of running around in like brown corduroy and maybe like riding horses. Is that fair?
There was riding horses, there was riding bikes, there was like climbing trees, there was, you know, making dens and going off on country adventures. I was definitely very into the outdoors.
So did beauty play a role then?
There was from quite an early age, like the kind of the makeover, you know, would be part of my games as well. So like letting me, like my sister would always say, like, let me like dress you up. And so I think I was very interested from quite a young age in this kind of transformation that you would get when you would put on a different outfit. And then also I guess that with beauty as well. And I would be really obsessed with watching my mum get ready. So if she was going to a party or a dinner party, or you know, I would just love to sit and watch her do her makeup.
And do you remember any particular products, or were you stealing any from her? What was going on?
I remember the lipstick. I think lipstick's always one that you kind of remember, like lipstick and perfume, just watching her, like the way she'd, you know, kind of, she would always, she's very natural and she never wore and still doesn't wear like a lot of makeup. It's not really her vibe, so she wouldn't do a kind of a really full face, but she'd do, you know, mascara, she'd do a like lipstick and do her hair. And yeah, I would just used to love watching her do it.
So beauty was for you something that was something to enjoy. It came with transformative powers, but it wasn't like a massive feature of your childhood.
Like the first product I ever had was like a glitter nail polish that I remember the colour. You don't even remember these things so well. But it was like, it was from a toy shop. So it was toy nail varnish.
Yeah.
So, you know, you put it on, you could paint it onto your nails, but then it almost like you peel it off again.
Oh, fun.
So it wasn't like, you know, as permanent as like...
What colour was it?
It was like light lilac purple.
Nice.
And it was like glitter in.
Oh, lovely.
I remember it so clearly.
Yeah.
But I remember being a bit disappointed in it because I thought, oh, it's not the proper stuff. You know, this is like, I kind of realised I'd been fooled into thinking I had some grown-up beauty product.
Yeah.
When I must have been about six, but actually it was like a toy. And when I was at my granny's house, I think I said to her, or my parents used to, something, if they went on holiday or something, they would leave us with our grandparents. And I remember saying, you know, I don't have any proper nail varnish. And my granny just put out like this whole tray of different reds, and she must have had about 10 different red nail varnishes, all slightly different reds. They were like, you know, Chanel, YSL, like really like
fancy
ones. And I was like, wow. She was like, have whichever one you want. And it was like, I remember that was my like first moment of really appreciating the packaging, like the feel, how it made me feel. And I was just so excited, and I just remember like really treasuring it. It was like a pillar box red Chanel.
Those memories are just extraordinary, how much it imprints, isn't it?
Yeah, I literally remember like the bathroom, I really can picture like the exact scene if I'd gave it to me.
So when you were
growing up and you got to like sort of, you know, 12, 13 or whatever, yeah. How did you feel about the way you looked? Did the way you looked take on a new importance?
I think 12 was kind of quite transitional for me because I'd gone from a school which was a prep school that was in Dorset and it was very much like riding every day. There was like, I didn't have my own horse, but they had like horses at the school. So like it was very horsey and very country. And when I went to my secondary school, it was, everyone was suddenly really grown up and I felt like I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I remember arriving in like a kind of Gap fleece hoodie and everyone was in like crop tops with belly piercings and I was like, I need to catch up. So, you know, I was like, wow, I want to fit in with all the other girls.
Did you catch up?
I remember like enlisting some help from like the older girls in my boarding house the first time there was like a school disco with a boys' school.
Yeah.
And I was like, and they gave me a makeover. And it was like a kind of like a Clueless makeover.
Because it sounds like something from Clueless.
It literally was like something from Clueless.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just put makeup on me and like straightened my hair. Because straighteners then, hair straighteners were like only just a thing.
So
like,
GHD.
Yeah. It was like, you know, and no one, we hadn't, it was just suddenly like exploded. We hadn't like, how have we not had these before?
Yeah.
And they like, smoothed out my hair and like did, you know, like a kind of.
What was your, when you say smoothed out your hair, what was your natural hair texture?
My hair's naturally wavy.
Right. Okay. So you just went for really straight.
Yeah. Like really like sleek straight hair.
Who were the people you were looking up to, like who were celebs? Was it like Christina Aguilera and Britney?
Yeah. I can't even think who I guess it was like kind of like Spice Girls. But they put me in a mini kilt with like a black kind of, like spaghetti strap, like camisole, like tiny top, black heels, and then like eyeliner and like straight hair. But I just remember feeling like another person.
That's
and
quite
I had,
nice.
And I had
of
my
them.
First snog.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
In your kilt.
And it was like, yeah, it was a mini kilt that was literally, it was about Christina Aguilera length.
I yeah. think. That sounds like, as I was just about to say, like the dream kind of young situation. You go in and you have these lovely older sister figures who help you out.
I think that was what I was kind of like a project. It was probably like, fun to be like, okay, she needs some help, like let's like give her a makeover.
Yeah. So was that your experience in the rest of your time then at boarding school?
It wasn't actually. That was a nice memory of like I think the first time of going from and like discovering how, you know, the makeup and like that could make me feel made me feel confident and kind of, I guess, like more grown up. But I did find school quite difficult. I was quite bullied at school and I also had things going on like acne. I mean, that's still something that I'm dealing with now, but, you know, as a teenager, it's difficult, and there was quite a lot of teasing and things, not just about acne, but just generally from other girls.
Right.
I went to another school where it was quite bad when I was kind of doing GCSEs, that kind of time. But, you know, I did, although there were bullies, I did also have friends, and I would still continue to love the kind of, doing makeovers, whether it was... Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to do them on other people. And from having bad skin, I also really wanted to teach myself how to use makeup to cover up and how to do makeup. So I was really always playing, like always wanting someone to be my guinea pig to let me like do their makeup. And through that, I guess people started to say, "Oh, you know, Millie knows how to do makeup." Mm. And then so like the older girls, and this kind of helped with the bullying a bit at the school I was at. Remember one of them saying, "Oh, you know, school ball or whatever, can you do my makeup?"
Right.
And she was older than me, so it was kind of like
great
privilege to be asked to do like an older girl's makeup. And I was like, you know, remember being like so nervous doing it like so carefully, and you know, so that it did help me as well.
Can we touch on your skin then? So yeah. You had acne. Was that just a teen sort of 14
onset?
Thing,
probably about kind of 12, 13 onwards.
And was it to the extent where you would feel self-conscious without makeup? Did you start?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. And so were you wearing makeup to cover it?
Yeah.
Do you remember what you were
that
wearing?
That was even at like all girls school. Yeah. I remember like I had like two grannies and I think my other granny had also given me some of her like foundation.
Okay.
And it was like double wear, like
Estee Lauder.
Yeah. And it was really heavy and it was, I think it was also, she would wear fake tan or, you know, she was always quite tanned. And I think the colour was darker than my skin. So I was like, probably it was like not matching my skin tone.
Were you wearing other makeup with it? Or were you just literally blocking out your face and pretending you're wearing no makeup, but covering the spots?
It was more just like covering the spots. I wouldn't say I would do that like every day, but say I went home for the weekend or we would do things like maybe go into like a local town to go shopping.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, there might be like, you know, boys there or something. I remember always being like, yeah, I have to put makeup on.
So was it more about boys than... It sounds like it was more about other people than about you.
Yeah, I think it was more about other people, but I would... Okay. If I would use any excuse, any time where I was, like, not at school and I was going into public, like, into, you know, any situation to just... I spent so long getting ready.
Were you getting into skincare then at that point as well? Or did...
I think my skincare was very basic at that point. I think it was, you know... St. Ives apricot scrub, you know.
Yeah.
Try and scrub it off.
Yeah. I went
Girls,
through those days
do not
too.
Do that.
No, it's so bad,
yeah,
isn't it?
A lot of very strong drying products, I think, when I was a teenager, and I'd say that really strips your skin and makes it worse. But at the time, you think that.
It gives you the instant gratification, doesn't it? Where you think it's done something, and then you're like, you don't.
You're like, it's stinging. It's done something. Yeah. You're like really irritating your skin.
So tell me about working at MAC then. So how did that? So you. Nurtured this love of makeup.
So I had this love of makeup from, you know, from being like a teenager.
Mm.
And when I left school, I in my back of my mind it was quite a strong thought that, you know, that was something I wanted to pursue and see what I could do with it. And I got a job when I left school. Luckily, my parents just moved to Bath, and it was the MAC in Bath as a Christmas temp. So that's the only way I kind of would have got employed at that time with like no experience.
Yeah.
Obviously had to do like interview process and do, you know, come in and do some makeup and watch me do it, and they give you a bit of basic training as well.
So then you're going forward, were you thinking I'll be a makeup artist and see what happens in my life?
I went away and did a bit of traveling, and when I came back I knew that I wanted to move to London,
right?
And I did a makeup course when I moved to London, because I'd worked at MAC for a bit, but I wasn't like experienced at all. So I did a makeup course thinking I needed to have it kind of on my CV. In hindsight, probably wasn't actually that useful.
But
it was only a 2 month course, because I think my parents like was really were like, you know, we're not putting you through like 3 years of makeup school at like a uni in London.
You
can the best
do
way
it.
Is to learn on the job.
Exactly.
Just, exactly. The best experience is actually just being out there doing it and assisting.
Yeah.
And so I did the course, but I didn't. You know, I don't think it was the best. I don't think the school even exists anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do, you know, would work just for free, doing test shoots, trying to build up my book. You know, I remember being like, I'm terrified going to Hackney Wick at, you know, 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning to wake up some like terrified but very sweet like 16-year-old like model who hardly spoke any English in a freezing cold warehouse.
But again, that's quite good training for sort of life, isn't it? Because you learn all these things about being tough and being on time and just the sheer professionalism like of makeup artistry and working in that industry, it's quite intense.
It was good to get that experience and go out and get some pictures in my book. And then after a while I was like, okay, well, I can't, you know, like work for free, I need to like support myself to live in London. So I applied for a couple more jobs and ended up, I didn't get employed at MAC again at the time, but I got a job at Space NK, which actually was great because it was not just one brand, and they had like NARS in there, they've got Viteri Chantecaille, you know, so they must have had about 6 or 7 different cosmetics lines, and then all of the like skincare as well. So then I started, you know, would get a bit of skincare training, like you'd have different reps in on different days. And I didn't work full time, I worked about 3 or 4 days a week, just depend on like the week, I was on a kind of part-time contract. And yeah, that was good again. It was like working with different people. I mean, it's long days, like on your feet all day.
A few of the guests on the show have worked at Space NK and
they
said the same thing. It's really great training, but it's a long day.
Yeah, it's a long day, and you know, your back hurt, and you know, those bright lights like really drain you.
Yeah.
And but it teaches you a lot about, you know, sales as well, and it's good, all good skills to have, lots of, and good people skills. Sometimes not dealing with the nicest people either, and trying to just be professional.
And when you were there, did you discover anything that you thought, this is amazing? Because Space NK is such a trove for products.
Yeah.
Like, was there anything particular that stood out?
I would use a bit of everything. I mean, I still like, really love like bits of brands that were there, like Viteri or Chantecaille.
Yeah.
Those were like great brands. I love those like French brands as well.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting learning about the skincare and learning about skin. And I think you love makeup, ultimately when you know it's all for me, like it's all very much about the skin and how having a great base to put your makeup on.
Yeah, because you have that understanding. I think that uniquely people who have had acne understand that once your skin's perfect and glowy,
yeah.
you can go from there and you yeah. don't need to do as much, but that's the holy grail yeah. kind of thing. So then you started making Chelsea, obviously, and that's when you came so, yeah, to public that awareness.
Happened, yeah. And at that time, yeah, I wasn't enjoying life expecting here that mm-hmm. much anymore, and I kind of, yeah, I kind of ended it around the time the show started. It was yeah. also difficult to film it because they would be like, we need to be available for this many days, mm-hmm. and it was hard with that, so yeah. yeah, it just kind of started at a natural time.
So, seeing yourself on camera, I mean, I think that, you know, now we live in an age when lots of people have seen themselves moving on camera and yeah. stuff because of smartphones. But there is something when you see yourself in a production and you see yourself walking yeah. and stuff where you're like, that's what I look like, yeah. and it's quite shocking.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, like it makes it very obvious what does and doesn't work for you.
Right. Yeah. And
beauty,
what do you like remember?
Fashion
what,
and beauty. Yeah.
And do you remember anything that you thought didn't work for you at the time, or was it?
I think, is it, yeah, with makeup, just seeing, you know, okay, that was too much blusher, or yeah. too much, not enough, or mm-hmm. just it depends on whether you're filming in like daylight or what the lighting's like
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, so you suddenly come to have an understanding of yourself almost as a third person.
Yeah.
So you, the way you look to other people becomes a different thing to yeah. your personal
yeah.
experience of yourself. What about your hair then? Your hair is it's a really unique colour. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
So it's kind of warm.
Changes a bit throughout the year.
Yeah. Do you colour it?
I don't colour it, but people will say to me, have you changed your hair colour?
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
just like, whether it's been in the sun or it goes darker in the winter.
Tell me about your hair challenges then. Is there anything that bothers you about it, or are you quite...
I mean, I feel like I've been through some hair disasters, and I feel like I've got to a good place with it now, where I've been using Kerastase extensions.
Kerastase is amazing.
I wanted to grow my hair for my wedding, which was in June, so... I started using that kind of just after Christmas,
right.
and yeah, and I feel like it's much healthier. I've been having regular trims.
Do you go to anyone in particular?
Yeah, I go to I see James at Daniel Galvin, mm-hmm. and also I just try and keep it in good condition with like treatments. And
treatments at home or treatments in the salon?
Both. So okay. in salon, I do one called Physio Dose, which is like a shine treatment.
Yeah,
which
that's the Kerastase one, isn't it? It's
yeah,
brilliant.
It's
yeah.
so good. And yeah. then at home, I'll just do like. Once a week, say I'm having a bath, pop a hair mask in and leave it in while you're in the bath,
yeah.
something like that. Just do a bit of maintenance at home.
Yeah, it looks in great condition though. It's really shiny.
Like I think you, yeah. I think not colouring it, it like helps because yeah. The thing I do to it to damage it the most is probably heat styling it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I, you know, with work as well, like I can have it styled, you know, up to like 4 or 5 times a week, maybe like not more than 4, but. Thing yeah. I try not to wash it too often, not in like an non-hygienic yeah. way, but
well,
just
like
not
every other
wash
day?
It every day, like more like every 3 to 4.
That's good. Okay,
like twice a week.
Do you use a lot of dry shampoo then, or is your
yeah,
yeah
dry shampoo?
Okay. Do you have a favourite?
I've liked the one Sam McKnight one.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. That's a.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Good one. Can we talk a bit about wellness? Features a lot in your life.
Yes.
So were you always interested in looking after yourself, or is that something?
Not really. I mean,
But you're naturally slender, so was that...
I'm naturally slim.
Yeah.
But I was never interested in exercise or sport at all when I was younger. Like, okay. I was the opposite. I was like, I hate sport.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I liked... I was outdoorsy as a kid, but, like, when I was a teenager, I just...
Yeah, so
I
you didn't,
did,
I
didn't like
yeah.
team sports. Like, I didn't... Yeah. I wasn't enthusiastic about having to be out on a games field in, like, freezing cold. And then when I was in sixth form, even when we were given the option to do... you know, yoga, or you could go to the gym, or you could do, like, trampolining.
Mm.
You could do, like, so many different things. And I just didn't take advantage of it. I just was...
Yeah.
I would just sit at the back of the gym and, like, play cards. Like, I just was,
did
like...
They, yeah, because in my school, they used to do this thing where you had, like, two sessions a week and you could choose what you wanted to do.
Yeah, you choose what you wanted to do. And now I was, like, I wish I'd gone, like, started getting into yoga, or... But I just wasn't in that headspace at all. Like, I just...
I think you have to want it, though, don't you?
And what... I would see everyone doing weights and be like... Well, like, to be fair, none of the girls at that age at that time were doing it, but it would just be all the guys in there, like, kind of grunting and sweating. And I would, if you said to me then, like, you'll love weights one day, I would have been like, never.
But that was, what, like, 10 years ago? Because I think exercising sort of now is, like, something people do for, as part of their wellness, almost as part of their beauty routine. But then it was very much like, I want big muscles, so I'll exercise.
It was, I think it definitely feels really different. And I remember I struggled with wanting to exercise, and liking the idea of it, and actually implementing it into my life as something that I did regularly, took me a while.
So how did you do it, and what made
you
do it?
I'd say it took me about at least, maybe from like first thinking, okay, I actually want to do it, to actually, it probably took me about 2 years.
Okay.
To actually getting, okay, like a routine that was regular.
So what did you start with?
Maybe I got like dragged to something with a friend.
Mm-hmm. Like a class?
A class, and that was like a good way to start it. I think one of the first things I think I did is like buy some equipment online, like resistance bands, a ball, a couple of things, and I just thought, I'm just going to do it on my own.
Yeah.
And tried to do it with like a DVD, and that lasted about 5 minutes. and the resistance band, I think it like pinged and like hit me in the face, and
I'm you're just, like, I'm sorry for this. I'm not doing it.
This isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
And then I think I tried to go into like a yoga class. I was like, okay, I think I could do yoga. And I went, and I don't think I'd done my research properly, I just went to a class, and it said it was mixed. And I thought, okay, mixed levels, like, it'll be fine. Or maybe it was even, like, a beginner's class. And everyone was just knew what they were doing and was doing, like, headstands. And I felt so, like, uncomfortable that I didn't know what I was doing, that I just left.
Yeah.
I just stood up and left.
It's really intimidating,
and it really scarred me. I was like, it took me a little while to get back to a yoga class.
Yeah.
And then a friend took me to a reformer Pilates class. And I've never found anything so painful in my life.
This sounds like a montage in a film. You know when they're like, and Millie tried all the different things. Yeah.
I'm there, like, falling off the reformer. Yeah. Like, being so, like, my balance was so bad.
Yeah.
So those are, like, my kind of first memories of being like, okay, I'm going to try to exercise. And all of them, I was like, I remember going, like, looking around a gym, thinking if I wanted to get a membership, and then being like, chickening out. Like, I just, like, wasn't quite ready to, like, take it on as actually, like, a life change that would be something... I did every day, or like most days.
Yeah.
And then I got a trainer. It must have been about, I think it was about, maybe when I was about 23. So this journey probably started when I was about 21, when I was on Made in Chelsea, when I think I suddenly started to think about not losing weight, but just about being like looking after my body and just being like wanting to feel like toned.
Yeah, but it goes back also slightly to seeing yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like, not
it does.
That, again, like, you are very slender, but
does change though, like it can go up and down by like half a stone in like a month, like easily.
I think that's very common for women.
So I maybe would sometimes like look back over a year and be like, oh, okay, at that time I felt, you know, my like normal weight, and at that time I felt slightly less than it, and some of that time looking back, okay, I was a bit over it, and you can tell from an image, like it was showing in my face.
Yeah.
I could even just see it in like the fullness of my face, or but on TV, like in a tight outfit, like. And I think, I didn't start to think, oh, I should lose weight. It was just wanting to feel, like, toned and healthy.
Yeah.
Or when I was, working at Space OK, I remember looking back on it now, I wasn't at all conscious of what I ate. I would eat, like, a ham and cheese baguette every day for lunch and not understand why I would, like, crash all afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't even occur to me to ever think about exactly
what
I
was
eating.
Yeah, so you were eating food just... to fill your stomach up, you weren't thinking about...
I was never thinking about the nutritional value of anything.
Yeah.
And then that was when I was, like, about, 20, 21. And then it really started to change a bit, because when I started to get into exercise, I started to work out with a trainer.
Right.
It took me a good couple of months to get used to it.
Mm.
Like, I would, if I found it really hard at home, like, you know, I'd have like fights with a trainer. And I would also just be so sore.
Yeah.
I remember the soreness, because I was using muscles I'd never used, and like, looking at now, like my form was so bad. Like, I was like, you know, do a squat, and I just couldn't even get my body into that position.
Yeah, I know.
And my flexibility was awful, so it took me like a long time, lots of stretching and stuff as well, to and lots of things to mobilize my body.
But you persisted.
I think I started to see results after about 2 or 3 months in my body, and also how it started to make me feel. And I think I kind of got hooked after that.
Mm. And so now, what does your exercise routine look like?
So, yeah, I've experimented with different things like over the years, and I like to mix and match and do different classes.
Do you still see a trainer?
Not currently, but if I'm training for something specific, I think I'll go back to doing, you know, 2 or 3 sessions a week with a trainer, where you're doing, you know, a specific like lower body workout or an upper body workout, or just like a mobility workout. I think it is good to have that one-to-one, where they might, you know, notice, okay, that side of your body is weaker and you need to strengthen that, and they can help with, you know.
But you've got your day-to-day routine.
My day-to-day routine, I feel like I've got it quite down at the moment. And well, sometimes I might do, like, I might work out with a trainer, but, like, with a friend.
Mm-hmm. So what does an average day look like then in terms of, like, fitness and, like, in terms of looking at your fitness and health? Like, what time do you get up?
So I probably get up between 6:30 and 7.
Okay, and do you work out straight away? Or eat
I wake up, I do meditation.
Okay.
And then I have, get out, like, put my gym kit on, have a protein shake with, like, nut butter, matcha. I've kind of cut coffee out, but I'll have put, like, a bit of matcha powder in, which is, you know, gives you a bit of energy. I'll use, like, a vegan protein powder. I like vanilla flavour. And then put some nut butter in with a bit of almond milk and a bit of ice. And that's it's like a delicious vanilla milkshake.
Yeah, sounds really
it's
nice.
Yummy. I like look forward to having it.
Yeah,
which I think what it should be. It shouldn't be like punishment. It's
for
like
sure.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Some people like here's a spinach and you go on it. No.
Yeah. No. And if you like it, you're much more likely to do it, aren't you? Yeah.
And then so I've gone through phases of not eating before I exercise as well, but I'm going through a phase now where I feel like I need something.
Yeah.
I go with kind of what my body's telling me.
Mm-hmm.
But like to have something in my stomach. Go and do a workout around between like kind of around 7:30, 7:45 time, kind of, or 8 o'clock kind of time.
Yep, at the gym or.
Oh yeah, I go to classes.
Fine.
So I might do spinning, yoga, Pilates, TRX, circuits.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I try to do about 4 or 5 a week.
Wow.
But different, not 5 of any of them, or not like it'd probably be not more than 2 of one thing.
Yeah. So you're a very routine person then.
Either at the gym or at home, shower and eat. And then I'd normally have like my eggs and avo toast or an omelet.
So you kind of have 2 breakfasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
I'm probably showering and eating about by like 9. And then I'm kind of like set, ready for the day.
Yeah. Great. You must feel really good come 9.
Yeah.
When you've done all of that. You're quite good with nutrition now. Did you go and research it a bit, or how did you come to knowing?
I would say I've learned a lot from different trainers because they've all had a lot of knowledge in... Some of them have had different opinions on what's good to eat, but they've all had kind of a lot of similar opinions about what's...
Yes, there's a crossover, isn't there?
You know, foods that are better for you, foods that are better to avoid. Like, I remember I used to just have, like, you know... porridge with like honey and banana before I worked out, and then my trainer was like, you know, that's better to have afterwards because, you know, you'll burn it off, where if you're having it before, you're like burning off the sugar from the banana like in your workout
and not any fat.
And I like to know that, so, you know, I think like picking up, and a bit at the time I was like, oh, you're being ridiculous, like, of course I'm gonna have my porridge when I like didn't listen to him. It took me a while to actually for it to click into place in my head and actually understand why he was saying it.
And also, the further you walk down that path, the more you understand these things, so you gain...
Again, like the exercise, it took me a while I started to be aware of what people were saying about what was healthier to eat, but I wasn't like ready to
make the change. I was like,
but I'll get to ignore it because I don't want to change my lifestyle that much.
Yeah.
And then slowly it starts to like implement itself.
Yeah.
And you find yourself, I don't know, buying sweet potato or I don't know, just like swapping things up.
Yeah. I do exactly the same. I kind of learn one thing and then you'll just switch things in and you're like, this is just as easy and I feel better. So you said you meditate. Is that for your sort of just well-being? Do you do anything for your mental health to sort of look after yourself?
I'd say it's for mental health. But I would count that as for my overall well-being.
Yeah.
I love Headspace, but there's lots of apps. I've also done a TM course, which I did after a particularly stressful time in my life. And so that's transcendental meditation, where it's like mantra based, and I found that incredibly helpful at the time. It's twice a day. It's 20 minutes.
I
found that really like transformative at the time.
And are you quite good at sticking to it then?
I've gone back to kind of doing like a 10-minute Headspace in the morning again now. But sometimes I might be like, oh, I just feel like doing a longer one today, and it just depends what mood I'm in. But most of the time, though, I will do a 10-minute Headspace first thing when I wake up, like before I, you know, look at my emails before I...
In bed still, or do you just go somewhere and do it?
It depends on whether my other half's like still asleep, but just I try to go to like to a room on my own, like, so if he's still...
Yeah, yeah, so you're not trying to do it.
If he's left the house already, then I'll do it in bed. If he's still in bed, I'll go into the living room.
I need to talk to you about how luminous you look and your makeup in general now. So your makeup range, which I've been playing with, is...
Yes, you've just been playing with it.
I have been playing with it. Now, I really like the highlighter. I think the highlighter is fantastic. The powder one. I like a powder highlighter. Yeah. I think it's really good. So tell me about sort of putting it together and what your aim was for the brand. Like, what were you thinking when you started it?
So this is the second year.
Yes.
I've got my beauty collection of boots.
Yes.
So it was definitely thinking about like what are my essential core like piece of makeup, like what products are my essentials that I use every day that take, you know, that are basically the makeup look that I want to wear every day, take it from day to night, that basically just like fit into my lifestyle and are products that I want to use because they're easy to use, they're easy to apply.
Yeah.
Formulas are great, you know, the textures, the colours, it lasts, that, you know, they've got longevity. They're universally flattering, you've got like great applicators, and I love that things come in sets as well, because I think that's really nice for the customer as well. You've got, you know, products that are just like essentials for your handbag, and then things that come in a kit as well, like the brow set, or you can get kind of like a glow set.
And is it fair to say, because what I was thinking when I was looking at them is the colorways are so you, so it's effectively like, if you know, because your look, it is, it's glowy, it's golden, there's a hint of pink, you know, but it's, your makeup is beautiful makeup, I would say.
I like to kind of highlight what's naturally there.
Yeah.
I'm an eyes or a lip girl. Not to say, you know, both together don't look good, it's just, I think I've tried and tested it on my face.
Yeah.
And it's a bit harsh if I have both, so I like to accentuate, either do a natural lip and a highlight and a kind of a bit of an eye look, or I like to do a natural eye and do a lip. And I'm all about the skin. As you said, like the makeup lining about skincare. I think, and you know, lots of makeup artists that all the makeup artists I know are obsessed with making the skin look really healthy, because it is your canvas, it's your base.
Yeah.
And you want to start there because it's what you know, it's almost like the first thing you see. Obviously you look at the eyes and the lips, but you do notice skin.
Yeah, or rather if skin's wrong, you don't notice the other things.
Yeah.
So what are your makeup favourites, both from your range and from other brands?
Yeah.
What do you put on your face at the moment?
So my makeup favourites, as a base, and I've always been a lover of tinted moisturisers.
Yeah.
Even like with suffering with acne, I find that I prefer the coverage from a tinted moisturiser. With concealer, heavy duty concealer on blemishes.
That's the makeup artist in you, though, because many people who have acne would do the opposite and go,
put a heavy coverage everywhere.
Yeah. But makeup artists would always say that.
I like to see the skin coming through, and I find that if you cover with the heavy coverage everywhere, it just masks your skin, and you end up ultimately, when I look at someone's face or when someone's looking at me, I want them to see me and not just makeup. I want them to see me coming through and not just like a mask. I've used loads over the years. I used to use Chantecaille Just Skin
mm-hmm.
for ages, and now I'm obsessed with Lancôme's Skin Feels Good.
Yeah,
and it's like such a gorgeous texture, but mm-hmm. it does cover as well. That's actually what we used on for my wedding.
Oh, brilliant!
Okay. And I've been obsessed with it since.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of everyday tinted moisturizer, and then if I want to, a little bit of extra glow, I add a little bit of my illuminator in with it.
Just okay,
literally. Like a tiny pea-sized amount,
mm-hmm.
and then, or you can also just like dab it onto the cheekbones,
mm-hmm.
and also it comes in the powder as well.
Is that what you've got on today?
Yeah,
yeah, because it looks really glowy.
Really yeah. glowy.
Mm.
Then I would use, for blemishes, Estee Lauder do a double wear
pot.
Concealer pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, actually, we covered my tattoo with it last week.
Did you?
So I'm like, that's
amazing. Where's your tattoo?
I've got a lower back one, and I was wearing a really low dress to Julian McDonald's show.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
So we covered it with concealer, so I'm like, that gives me like confidence that it's got like staying power. Like,
what is your tattoo? Do you not want?
It's a butterfly. I just got it when I was really young, and it was just distracting from the look of the dress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you do get it out sometimes, but you felt that on this occasion.
I mean, I always wear high waist now.
Right.
Right. Then I was younger. It was like the jeans that were so low they were almost decent.
Yeah.
Should we think about it? And it would always be the midriff and like the lower back on display.
Yeah.
People always saying, oh, gonna get cold.
Didn't care. No, it's all about that look. Sorry, I've totally gone off your makeup favorites. Find your way back in.
So I rarely show it now unless I'm wearing a bikini. But makeup favorites. So I love like a pinky nude lip for mm-hmm. my kind of like everyday look like I've got on today.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like a kind of peachy pink blush. Mm-hmm. I think just really brightens the complexion.
Yeah.
When you're feeling a bit tired.
Yeah.
You're feeling like your skin's not looking its freshest.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of the pinky nude lipstick that I've got in my line, and a like little pop of blusher on the cheek, just like lifts and
so
just like
freshens.
Just like looks, so you look fresh.
Yeah.
Just like also,
and what about brows and lashes? Are you?
Oh well, I want to use brows and lashes again. The first thing I would do normally, even if I'm just going to the gym, I would just do a bit of brows.
Okay.
I just like to fill them in a little bit. I like blend the two lighter shades from my brow kit.
Yeah.
And then use a little bit of the brow gel just to keep them in place. I've got quite long eyebrows.
They are quite long actually.
Yeah, they are. The hairs like go a bit quick, and I wake up sometimes they're a bit scary.
Do you trim them or do you just use them?
I do. I go to a place called High Definition Beauty.
Oh right, and they trim them for you.
They do it all.
Yeah.
And mascara, I've loved since I was the first mascara I had was Lancôme Hypnose mm-hmm. mascara.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, literally you could layer it on, and I wanted that like spider's legs, like lashes look.
Mm.
Which I probably don't do it as long as I used to now, I love that mascara, and I've got mascara in my beauty line this year, and I didn't do one last year, and I was like, I am such a mascara girl.
Yeah, that's part of your look,
I would go out without mascara, and I do sometimes
Who are your beauty role models? Like, if you're looking at other people, who do you really like?
Who do I really like? Blake Lively.
Oh, yeah.
Gorge. Okay. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Yeah. So there, I would put you in that bracket, though. That's the kind of look I'd assume you liked.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So, final question. It's about being in the public eye, and I just think the intensity of people looking at you, it must be really quite something. And there's been this revolution recently in the approach towards aging, and I just wondered if, because now we're seeing so many women who are like 50 in beauty campaigns and things, and I just wondered how, whether you feel that people, not saying to you because you're so young, but how you feel about the thing about aging now. Is that something that you think is more acceptable? Is that the impression you're getting from people?
I think it's just, you know, I think there is a trend out there for a lot of people to start doing things to their faces when they're quite young. And I think the scary thing about it is that you can start to actually look older from doing too much. And your age also becomes almost like unidentifiable. You just look done.
Yeah.
Each their own. Completely respect everyone's own decision.
Mm.
But I think it's nice to keep a bit of expression in your face as well. Because it's like you want to show some character in your face. And, you know, I think if your face tells the story of like the journey that you've been on in your life, and it's a shame
charming.
To like rub that all out.
I think
it's charming as well. I think I love people's features when it's like the little quirks about them that make them so beautiful, and think about like if you have laughter lines, at least you've had a good laugh.
Quite.
But you know, who knows in the future, but I hope I can age gracefully. And I think it's about like looking after yourself,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, taking that seriously as well.
Yeah, being healthy so being that you healthy, project that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, so I can't believe all the sundowners are just missing earlier.
No, I know. It's so annoying, isn't it? Are you good at wearing SPF now?
Yeah, good.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Millie.
So that was Millie McIntosh. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And do let me know if you've tried any of the products. I am particularly fond of the illuminator and highlighter that we spoke about in the episode. I think they do great things to a cheekbone. So I'll be back next week with a new guest. In the interim, do please subscribe, rate and review. And I will see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.